Now, why exactly is it that man is dignified? What is man that God is mindful of him? Pico takes his lead from the psalm. And then he goes on to say that man is a dignified creature precisely because God endowed him with free will and gave him the possibility to soar with the angels or wallow with the beasts. It is the dignity inherent in free will. But you'll notice that the frame here is fundamentally religious, fundamentally Christian, fundamentally traditional. We might also say that Pico's oration on the dignity of man is in a way a textual representation of that very familiar picture from the central medallion of the Sistine Chapel ceiling, the one where God and Adam are just almost touching. There is the point, you see. All right, so that's one kind of humanism. Now, we could say another kind of humanism has to do with a preoccupation with this world and with its concerns. For example, as in Niccolo Machiavelli's The Prince. Machiavelli looks at politics through a brutally jaundiced eye. He simply says, this is how it is. There's no idealism in him. There's no romance in him. He lays aside much of the medieval Christian past's reflection on government. He says, this is the way people actually behave in the world. He doesn't say this is a good thing or a bad thing. He says this is a real thing. This is the way things go. Humanism can mean a devotion to the humane disciplines. The literae humaniores, the more humane letters. The liberal arts. Fundamentally, the liberal arts. To pursue a liberal arts education is to pursue a humanist education. Now, generally one would have said in the 14th and 15th centuries among the humanists, and one would say now, that this means not theology. We saw in the Middle Ages that theology was the queen of the sciences. It was the highest of the disciplines. Well, instead, the seven traditional liberal arts could still be pursued, more particularly the trivium, the literary arts among them, but not theology. Nevertheless, humanism has often had a certain attachment to the liberal arts. We might say, extending that point just a little bit, that humanism has customarily meant a particular fascination with the literary culture of classical antiquity. Now, you remember Matteo Palmieri again. He keeps saying, everything has been gone for a long time. You see, in our own day, we're bringing all of that back to life. Well, here again is this tripartite, ancient, medieval, modern sort of division. But here also, then, was this focus on the literary culture of classical antiquity. So that's another meaning that the word humanism has often had. Now, those who talk about the Renaissance also talk about civic humanism. Now, civic humanism can be understood in several different ways. It can be understood, for example, quite simply as boosterism. To travel in Italy today, for example, is to see the buoyant competition of the great cities. To travel around, for instance, a city like Florence is to see, yes, the great Duomo, the great cathedral church of Florence, but then to see Santa Croce and Santa Maria Novella and all of the other magnificent churches of that city and say, how is it that so many remarkable buildings were built in such a short period of time? And much the same could be said of Milan and of Venice and of other cities. And there are also those great town halls, those great civic palaces in the Italian cities. Tremendous competition. If your neighboring city puts up a new cathedral, you put up a bigger one or a better one, or you adorn yours more finely, or you get better artists to paint pictures for it. If your neighboring city puts up a new town hall, you put up a finer one, or again, you have it decorated more beautifully. Another side of civic humanism, and one which we'll encounter in a little bit more detail in our next lecture, is the idea that human beings can live their life most fully in a free republic. Now, there's a deep irony here, because that ideology is being articulated in Italian cities, many of which are despotisms. But more about that again in our next lecture. The idea of civic humanism, however, is that human beings can be most fully human in a civic setting. So, civic humanism, something that we talk about in connection with the Renaissance, maybe it's urban competition, maybe it's civic humanism. All right,